Kunti and Parikshit saved. Did you finish the whole 10th canto or 12th canto? That's why in first canto again, or up to 10th canto, 13th chapter. Yes, we did that also in Vrindavan long time ago. But other temples, they continue till 12th. Every temple is different. Ahomi, sorry, 49. Bala dvija surin mitra. Pitri batri guru druha. Namesham nirayan moksho. Hi api barsayutatyutai. Bala dvija surin mitra. Pitri batri guru druha. Namesham nirayan moksho. Hi api barsayuta yutai. Bala dvija surin mitra. Pitri vritri guru druha. Namesham nirayan moksho. Hi api barsayatu yatai. Bala dvija surin mitra. Moksho. Tiya sa yutayutai. Bala dvija surin mitra. Tiripatrin guru druha. Namoksha madayan moksho. Tiya yutayutai. Sayamutra Vibhatri Guru Druha Mataji Bala Dvija Surin Mitra Pitri Bali Yudu Druha. Matajis Bali dvija surin mitra Pitri batri guru druha Namishan narayan moksho Rapiya basa yutayutai. Bali dvija surin mitra word for word meaning bala boys dvija the twice born surit well wishers mitra friends pitri parents, Bratri, brothers, guru, preceptors, druha, one who has killed, na, never, me, my, shat, there shall be, nirayat, from hell, moksha, liberation, he, certainly, api, although, varsha, years, achyuta, millions, ayutai, being added. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ke. I have killed many boys, brahmanas, well-wishers, friends, parents, preceptors, and brothers. I will not be relieved from the hell that awaits me for all these sins, though I live there for millions of years. Purport. When there is a war, there is certainly a massacre of many innocent living beings, such as boys, brahmanas, and women, whose killing is considered to be the greatest of sins. They are all innocent creatures, and in all circumstances, killing of them is forbidden in the scriptures. Maharaj Yudhisthira was aware of these mass killings. Similarly, there were friends, parents, and preceptors also on both sides, and all of them were killed. It was simply horrible for him to think of such killing, and therefore he was thinking of residing in hell for millions and billions of years. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Purport, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 49, with Srimad Bhagavatam prayers by Queen Kunti and Parikshit Save. Om Agyanantimirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurung Vaisnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakan Vitamscha Hare Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kipa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Baladvija Surin Mitra Pitri Bratri Guru Druha Namesham Nirayan Moksho Hiyapi Barsaya Tutchatai. we are here in the saga or story whereby it happened 5,000 years ago. This is just after the battle in Kurukshetra, where millions and millions of people get killed. It says here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, about 640 million people. This is the greatest war in the last 5,000 years. And those who were killed, they're also not ordinary personalities. And also most of them are related. Family relationship is there as relatives, uncles, even grandfather between the Kurus or the Kauravas, the descendants from King Kuru. All of them are called Kurus, but at the time they were divided. One is called Pandavas, the five brothers, headed by King Yudhisthira, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadev, and Bhima. And on the other side, the sons of King Dhritarashtra, headed by the eldest son. King Dhritarashtra had 100 sons, and headed by Duryodhan. Now, the battle is over, and Lord Krishna just done his duty. He was the one who actually made the whole story of this fighting between the Pandavas and the Kauravas or the Kurus to establish the principles of religion. And as we've read from the Bhagavad Gita, when he instructs Arjuna to fight and kill, even though he's fighting against his kinsmen, to not to worry, because all of them already been killed by me. You just have to do your duty. And that's why the hero of the Bhagavad Gita is not Lord Krishna, but Arjuna. So King Yudhisthira, of course, he is the next heir. He's the eldest. And he felt very guilty. As a devotee of the Supreme Lord, he felt something inside from him that was done wrong. And it was done because of him being the next heir or the king. It could have been avoided because he was seeing Duryodhan to be the king and there's no problem. But to establish the principles of religion, Yudhisthira has to be in the throne. So many, many got killed. And it's amazing, we've been there in Jyotisar. How many of you have been to Jyotisar in Kurukshetra, where the battle happened 5,000 years? It's such a small place, but it says 640 million people got killed. It's hard to imagine that with our teeny, puny, little mind. World War II, the casualties is between 50 million to 80 million people got killed, including the civilians, not just the military personnel from different countries. The most people got killed was in Poland. And then Russia. But only 50 to 80 million people, which is like two-thirds of the population at that time, 2.3 billion people only at that time, 5,000 years ago, it seems to be that there are more population. Huh? And King Yudhisthira, he felt so guilty that he was the cause. It's like in the beginning of the battle when Arjuna was arguing with Lord Krishna. He was saying, what is the use? If I kill them, how can I enjoy the kingdom? And there's no use of becoming the victorious party if there's nobody else to celebrate. So this happened in such a way that Arjuna also was put into delusion, but ultimately he agreed to fight after explaining the whole Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, or the narration of the Supreme Lord, instruction from the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, to Arjuna regarding the nature of the soul. And his duty is to perform his activities for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So here, Yudhisthira Maharaj also, such a dilemma. Actually, he was considering himself as going to hell, reside in hell for millions and billions of years. Because so many personalities got killed. He doesn't want to follow the instruction of Lord Krishna to be the next. He says, what is the use? But then Lord Krishna had another plan whereby he was not able to convince even Vyasadeva. Says even Vyas, who is the literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord, Lord Krishna himself, they're not able to console Yudhisthira. This is the nature of the devotee. He's very guilty if he does something which is against the principles of religion. Killing is not proper according to the law of men and the law of nature. You have to suffer. But as a Kshatriya, he has to do it. So Yudhisthira, he was not convinced. This is not proper. And because of his loving affection towards the Supreme Lord, he's able to capture Lord Krishna's heart. That's why it says that the love of the devotees is so great that it puts Krishna, seems to be like subjugated or inferior. Krishna became Parthasarathi, chariot driver. So Krishna was about to leave, go back to Dwarka. But then Yudhisthira Maharaj says, wait, you please stay for a few more days. So Lord Krishna, he agreed because of the love of his devotee, Yudhisthira Maharaj. So Lord Krishna says, yes, I will stay for a few more days, but in the meantime, we should go and see Bhishmadev, who's lying in the bed of arrows. Who's lying in the bed of arrows. And actually, it was Krishna's arrangement because Bhishmadev also wanted to see the Supreme Lord before he leave his body. And at the same time, Lord Krishna made it in such a way that Yudhisthira Maharaj has to hear the teachings from Bhishmadev about the duties, the occupational duties of the living beings. That's why there is a part here where there is a teachings of Bhishmadev. to Yudhisthira Maharaj before leaving the body. It is the nature of the devotee to be very honest. Just like Yudhisthira Maharaj is very honest. Morally, he is considered to be a little greater than Lord Krishna. Because Lord Krishna told him to lie. But King Yudhisthira, he doesn't want to do it. It is a white lie. A white lie means it's not really a real lie. It has some, there's a little bit of not truthful. But just to cover up and to defeat the opponents. What's the name of that elephant? Asvatam. You say, Asvatam! Is killed. So King Yudhisthira, he had to go to hellish planets also for that, to say that lie. But King Yudhisthira is also none other than Dharmaraj, Yamaraj, one of the Mahajans. Bhishmadeva also is a Mahajan, but he has to hear from another Mahajan. Mahajan means those who know the principles of Dharma. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka, Bhishma, Prahlado, Bhismo, Balir Vaya, Sakhi Vayam. These are all Mahajans. He knows the principles of religion, but at the same time, as a devotee, he's feeling that he did not do what is proper, what is to be done. That's why he's relying on Lord Krishna at the same time. So devotees also should be honest to oneself. We will not make advancement in Krishna consciousness if we are not honest to ourselves. Honesty is the best policy. That's what they say. Because, what is that? Honesty is also similar to truthful. That's why planet Earth can bear everything, waste, toxics, except lying. She cannot bear that burden of lying. And Yudhisthira Maharaj is such a personality who exemplify how to be always truthful, always be honest. That he's thinking that, well, I've done this, therefore I have to suffer. But according to Lord Krishna, no, you're just doing your duty. In every actions that we do, in day to day, even though not wanting it, we commit sins. A devotee of the Supreme Lord, it's very cautious. But when we breathe air, there's so many germs going inside. When we walk, there's so many germs here. We actually kill them. Unwantedly though, not purposely. So what to do? And the days of King Yudhisthira, they have to perform some sacrifices or yajna in order to counteract this. He performed Ashvamedha Yajna. This Ashvamedha Yajna is very, very difficult to perform. You need a lot of gold. When they do yajna in those days, they use gold, utensils, everything gold. And after that, after the yajna, they don't throw it away, but they just put them aside. And no one touched this. After that, the king may recycle or use that for running the kingdom. And asvamedha yagya means like horse sacrifice. And the best is King Indra. He did 100 horse sacrifice. But King Yudhisthira, he performed three horse sacrifices, three asvamedha yagyas to counteract these sins. So what to do nowadays? We have so many wars all over the world right now. They're all having a competition. How to be the best. How to have the best armaments. To destroy humanity. And they don't see what is the consequence. They don't see that this is sinful. They don't see. They have to suffer for this, like millions and billions and billions of years in the hellish planets, hellish conditions. So devotees also, we have to be mindful of our activities during the day, how we relate with each other, especially Vaishnava Parad is very detrimental to the progress of one's spiritual life. Sometimes it says that it could destroy the Bhakti Lata Bij. It's like a mad elephant entering into a garden of nice flowers. We have to be very careful. Respect everybody, not just those who are seniors, but even the person who just first came inside the temple. They're all Vaishnavas. Anyone who chants even at least one, the holy name of the Lord, utter the holy name of the Lord even once, he's a Vaishnava. Actually, everyone is a Vaishnava because we all came from the Supreme Lord, Lord Vishnu. So, unknowingly, we may be committing some offenses or sins. And the best way in the age of Kali to get rid of this, whether we like it or not, we commit this every day, is the yagya of Sankirtan, chanting of the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This is the best way. And even a neophyte who realized that the holy name, the Nam, is none different than Lord Krishna, Nami, then he will be considered as a pure devotee. It's not necessarily a pure devotee, it's the Uttama Bhakta. The more we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the more we become purified. But then we have to come to that platform whereby we realize that the Nami, Lord Krishna, and Nama, the holy name, is none different. And at the same time, we should be willing to give up our material desires. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one's advancement in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is when you are willing to give up your material desires. It is normal to have material desires. We are in the material world. If you don't have material desires, then you are a very rare soul. You are not of this world. So even though it is normal to be in the material world to have material desires, as living beings, we are servants of the Supreme Lord, and it is our duty to use everything in this world as ingredients to serve and to give pleasure for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If this is our mentality, then we can make so much rapid advancement. According to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you only need two things to go back home, back to Godhead. Chant Hare Krishna constantly without any offenses, and don't offend any Vaishnavas, and in that matter, any living being, even an ant. Then you go back home, back to Godhead. Otherwise, it may take us many millions of lifetimes. Prabhupada says, you can break all the four regulative principles, but don't stop chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I know one devotee, he only followed two regulative principles, the other one three. Some, they don't, but they chant. But after some time, they may lose the taste. So try to encourage them. Even one round every day. Then later on, they'll progress and eventually they'll take up to the process of taking initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. But nevertheless, this is the importance of the Yuga Dharma. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra purifies everything. Purifies even the most contaminated place, including our mind. Prabhupada says, you cannot control your mind. It is not possible because the mind is always thinking of something. The only way how you can control the mind, Prabhupada says, to chant Hare Krishna and always think of ways how you'll be able to engage in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you're always thinking like this, then there is no room for Maya. There's no way. If you're always thinking of how I can be able to help Prabhupada's movement, the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then there's no way of you being into Maya. And if somehow you commit some offenses, then keep chanting again and again and again. So, King Yudhisthira, later on, he'll accept the guidance from Bhishma Dev how to rule the kingdom. Because to be a king, to be a guru, to be parent, to be a teacher, it says that it is your duty to bring your subjects in such a way that they will become liberated or free from the cycle of birth and death. And he's an ideal monarch, he's an ideal king. If one cannot do this, then better not. So King Yudhisthira, later on also, he transferred the throne to King Parikshit. Parikshit Maharaj, who became the emperor. So today is Subhash Thakur, one of the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Subhash Adi Gaura Bhaktavinda. There are three Prabhus or three masters. Advaita Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Lord Chaitanya is the Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar, they're all in the Vishnu Tattva category. Then there is Gadadhar, who is none different than Shrimati Radharani. She is the internal potency of the Supreme Lord. She is the one who can please Krishna the most, the best of all devotees. There is no Radharani, no Krishna. They're together all the time. So wherever Krishna is, Radharani is there also at the same time. And then Subhash Thakur, he's also called as Srivas pandit. Because he's a learned brahmana. Now, Siva's pandit is none different than Narad Muni. In the history of the universe, Narad Muni has the most disciples. You will never find anyone who will have more disciples than Narad Muni. Narad Muni has different kinds of disciples. Kings, paupers, a snake. He has a snake disciple. One day, Narad Muni was walking and he found this snake. And the snake became a disciple of Narad Muni. So now the news came and spread everywhere that the snake became the disciple of Narad Muni. And so the children will throw stones because as a devotee, you're not supposed to be violent. So what to do now? So he went to see Narad Muni and asked for advice. He said, what to do? Narad Muni says, when they try to harm you, you just show that you're going to bite and spread your head. What do you call this? The hood. You spread your hood and your... But don't do it all the time. Momentarily, you just show. So, similarly, devotees are like this. They have to... sometimes they may some hostility or some danger, so we have to show our anger also, but the anger of devotees is different than the materialists' anger. The materialists are angry because they cannot fulfill their material desires. Devotees, they become angry when they see that the Supreme Lord or His devotees are being blasphemed or being harmed. So when the snake did that, momentarily, he was showing that he was going to bite. Then they left him alone. The children didn't bother anymore. So Siva's pandit, he has three brothers. They are the Sri brothers. Sri Bas, Sri Ram, Sripati, and Srinidhi. Three brothers. And they're fully Krishna conscious. Siva's Pandit, the wife of Siva's Pandit is Malini Mataji. Malini Mataji is a good friend of Mother Sachi, who is the mother of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were all chanting all together. All the time. And because at that time they know that the principles of religion is going down and down and down. So they also prayed for the Supreme Lord to appear. Like Advaita Acharya, who prayed that the Supreme Lord will also appear to help mitigate and establish the principles of religion. So, Malini and Shibash and Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, they were all good friends. They're all like contemporaries. They're all sharing each other many things that when at the time of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Malini Mataji, she used to come to the house of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata to help taking care of young Nimai Pandit. They have the feeling that the Supreme Lord already appeared, but they cannot really tell that the Supreme Lord is none other than Nimai. They just know that Nimai is very lovable, very beautiful, and mischievous, just like Lord Krishna. Very naughty. That when they were chanting and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam at Advaita Acharya's house along with Vishvarup, because every day Sachimata will ask Nimai to go and fetch Vishvarup Prabhu from Advaita Acharya's place, that whenever they will see, they will become attracted to Nimai, and they will also pray that someday he'll become a very great Vaishnava. Someday. They didn't have a clue that he's none other than the Supreme Lord. So Nimai is very scholarly, is very studious. He had a tall or a school also, where he teaches the grammar and different aspects of studying the Vedas. And Sivas Pandit will also think that, what is this? Nima is always studying. He is missing the goal of life. And one day he approached Nima and says, why are you always studying? What are you going to gain from having this knowledge? You will miss the purpose of human form of life. And Nimai cannot reply immediately. But later on, Nimai asked Sivas, Sivas, who is the object of your worship? Who is the object of your meditation? Your object of meditation is none other than me. So to show this to Lord Chaitanya, to Sivas, in Sivas' house, there is an altar of Lord Vishnu. So Lord Chaitanya, he went inside the altar and he sat on the Srinivasan of Lord Vishnu. And then he transformed himself into four-arm form. Sivas Thakur was so stupefied. He was so amazed. He was like, this cannot be, this cannot be. Am I dreaming? This cannot be. So he understood and he prayed to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but today on, you made my ashram purified. You made my life perfect. And that was the start. And Sivas Angam is not very far from our headquarters, Sridham Mayapur, the world headquarters of our movement. And before the parikrama, the Navadvip Dham parikrama, they would pass by over there. They would chant every night. In the beginning, the Sankirtan, it's only exclusive. Not everybody can come in. Because they cannot understand the static symptoms and the dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're all expressions of love of God. They will be mocked. They will be those who doesn't understand, they'll become offensive. They think they're just fanatics. They're just sentimentalists. So they will do Sankirtan behind closed doors. Unlike now. We go outside and chant everywhere. But in the beginning, no, they don't let anybody and everybody inside. And they will go up till midnight, till the early morning. So some became very envious, and they, because they don't know what's going on inside, they think that they're doing something which is prohibited. They're doing something which is not according to the Shastras. Mostly these are smarter Brahmanas who were thinking like this. So they made a plan that outside of the house of Sribas Thakur, that they put different paraphernalias where you will see the ingredients for worshipping Durga. Red vermilion, even meat, different items. So the next day, the whole news spread over the village. Look, this is what they're doing every night. They're worshipping Durga. And Sivas, he came out and he said, yes, that is true. That is true. We're doing this every night. He's being very humble. He doesn't want to retaliate and just fight with them. It's useless to fight to... it says if you fight with somebody who's very low, you become like them. It's like if you fight with a pig, then you get dirty. So to do that, he says, okay, yeah, we're doing this. But then the devotee says, no. He will never do this. Later on, it became open to everybody. There's another pastime. There's so many pastimes that happened with Sivas Thakur. I'm not be able to relate them to you, but maybe later on you'll be able to hear it from Maharaj. And I don't want to repeat whatever he's going to say, because well, pastimes is pastimes. What else? If you know something new or different, you can let us know. But nothing is new in Krishna consciousness. Everything is the same. One pastime that I really like about Sivas Thakur is that when they were doing kirtan in a different part of the house, there's only one son of Sivas Thakur. And because he was ill already, he left his body while the kirtan is going on. So Sivas Thakur, he became a little curious what's going on. So he went inside that room and everyone was crying. The mother, all the ladies, they were all crying. Say, what happened? Well, your son left his body. And Shiva says, but don't cry, because I don't want Mahaprabhu to be disturbed in his ecstatic dancing. I don't want him to be disturbed in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Please don't cry. If you're going to cry, just cry for a few moments and stop. If you don't stop, I'll go to the Ganges and kill myself. It is better I kill myself that you stop and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continue his pastimes of kirtan. So the ladies stopped and Sivas went back to the kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sensed that something is wrong. Something is happening here. It's not, I'm not feeling the same ecstasy here. Sivas, is there anything wrong? What happened? So Sivas, he doesn't want to tell a lie. Later on, he confessed. He says, my dear Mahaprabhu, my son left his body. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, why didn't you tell me immediately? Where is he? Oh, he's on the other side of the room. One of the rooms here. So bring me over there. And then as soon as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched the body of the son came back to life. Came back to life. And so much knowledge were said between Lord Chaitanya and the boy, because he says that this is not my first and last birth and death. I've been here so many lifetimes, but somehow or other, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you are very fortunate because you heard the holy name of the Lord while leaving your body. The potency of the holy name is so great that even the most sinful person, if he hears the holy name of the Lord at the time of death, he'll get moksha. We should pray the same thing. We have experience in Vrindavan. Many devotees, they left their bodies hearing the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And it's not by chance that they were hearing the holy name of the Lord and at the same time being in the holy dham. So if we ourselves continuously try to chant the holy name of the Lord 24 hours, not only when we have the japamala, we should chant even within our mind. But that is the most difficult, to chant within one's mind. It's like Haridas Thakur, he would chant three ways. One, silently, japa, sankirtan, congregational, chanting loud, and through the mind. Very difficult. But we are fortunate enough if somehow or other Krishna will make some arrangements for us that at the time of our death, we will be able to hear the holy name of the Lord or the narration. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, hearing the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name and the Srimad Bhagavatam, who is none different than the Supreme Lord Himself, they're the same. So if you continue on like this, day after day after day, hope against hope, that someday we'll be able to relish the holy name, and also even before we leave our bodies, we'll become Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna. I'll stop here. Any comments, corrections?
Hare Bol Maharaj, thank you very much for accepting our invitation at the last moment. Normally we have, as everybody knows, Prabhupada's lecture today.
Thank you for giving me the privilege.
Because Maharaj had not been here for a long time, as he said, this is his first time in 8 years. So we extended an invitation for him to give class this morning, and he kindly accepted. So Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna.
Anugrah Janardan Maharaj Ki Jai. So Maharaj, just one question, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Regarding the Durga worship. As we know, even within our society, many of our members come from India. They know this is not something weird, so they are naturally attracted to the Hare Krishna movement. And then you go to their home and they have Radha Krishna on the altar, but then in the corner they have a Durga deity. So is there a problem with that? We see here that they try to insult Shiva's pandit by inferring that he worshipped Durga.
Yeah.
But like within our own society, we have members, they have Radha Krishna deity, they have Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, but then they also have Durga. So what to make of that?
Very valid question. He says, if you worship Lord Krishna, then everyone is worship. Demigods, every is included. So we understand that the power of the demigods also coming from Lord Krishna. But those who are worshipping, see, some of them, they've been worshipping them for generations after generations, and even after coming from India, they still continue. And it's very difficult to become detached. This is attachment, actually, even though after some time, you've read from Prabhupada's books that yes, Krishna is the supreme, everyone is subordinate. Ekala Isvara Krishna Ara Sarva Britaya, everyone is subordinate. If you have a relationship with them, you can try to tell them, not in a demanding, because these attachments has to be given up. Before we go back to the spiritual world, Don't be attached to your attachment. You have to be detached from your attachment. Especially Grihasthas, they have so many attachments. So we have to learn how to become detached from those. And one type of the attachment is worshipping Durga or Ganesh or Kartikeya. If somehow he will surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, then all of those will go away. But as long as he's not surrendering, he will continue that worship. But if you have a good relationship with them, you may tell them. And because you have a relationship, then they'll take your advice. Maharaj.
We hope we'll be hearing more from you soon, or sooner than later. I had, first of all, on what you were just speaking about, I just wanted to give a little addendum. And that is, I have nothing contradictory except to the
effect. Maharaj, can you speak like this?
Can you hear me better this way?
Yeah, like dot, yes.
Like that?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that.
They can hear.
So, it is mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion that those who want to worship Lord Ganesha, devotees we're talking about, may do so, because he will make our life in devotional service more auspicious. That is his service, to make things auspicious or to make the road smooth, get rid of the obstacles like that. So, and the other, of course, we all know about that that one may worship the demigods in relation or in conjunction with trying to develop some intimate or close relationship with Krishna, such as the gopis. They worshipped Durga Devi, but not for their own sense gratification. They worshipped so that they wanted to get him as their husband.
Of course.
And so there are exceptions to every rule, and
sure.
I just wanted to point two, and I'm sure there are many more. So that's the first thing. The second question, that wasn't a question, it was a comment. But the second, as I have, and it's a quick answer, so because I have a much more involving question. But my question is this, this: in this temple, generally, if we hear something that's either unusual or unknown, we always like to hear what the reference is for that. And you had mentioned that Narada Muni has more disciples than anyone else. So I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
No.
But if you know, fine. And if you don't, we'll just move ahead.
Yeah. Well, I have concluded it on my own because you will not find anyone who has more disciples than him.
Well, have you counted them?
Well, I was saying in the from what we've read and what we've heard, he can initiate what the Haryasvas. How many?
With a thousand, then another thousand. But Radhanath Maharaj has at least that many.
I don't think he'll surpass Narad Muni. He's been here since time immemorial, and right now he's still making disciples.
Okay. So,
there is no sastric evidence I can give you, but I just kind of like throwing it there because Narad Muni appeared in every page of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says that.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Now, I wanted everyone to know that it is a speculative answer, and nobody should take this as Shastra.
Yeah.
And if you want to continue it as a speculative from a sannyasi who is learned and who is very respected, then please do so.
Yeah.
But if you want to stay on the beaten track of Shastra, then you have to say it that way so that the devotee who is receiving takes the option as to which way he wants to go.
Sure.
That was my only point.
If you find anybody else who has more disciples, please let me know and I can change.
I'm on the lookout now.
Prabhupada says, if you have a better alternative than Krishna, we will take it. Well, we don't have. Of course, that is Shastra says.
So now my question is this, and more related and more germane to your talk. And the question I'm sure that many devotees have is that, as you mentioned, King Yudhishthira is wallowing in oceans of guilt right now because he feels responsible for the millions of persons who have died on the battlefield and for the various reasons that occur. When millions die, so many things, so much misery and so much uncertainty and doubt and fears are encountered. So the question is this. Yudhishthira is a pure devotee of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that there is no such thing as death. He knows that nobody is dead. Either you come back here and you go on with your the process of devotional service, or you go back to the heavenly planets and you can enjoy there. So why should he have all this guilt? Because there's nothing to be guilty about. You don't have to worry about anybody dying. Krishna says that, of course, right in the Bhagavad Gita, the beginning, for several pages. So any devotee who has a little bit of learning will say, what's he crying for?
It's the need of all very, this? Very interesting.
Yeah, he knows that nobody really died.
Sure.
So why is this being allowed? So maybe you can help us to understand.
I think we mentioned that already, that Arjuna and Yudhishthira, they're put into delusion, so that Bhishmadev can speak these teachings for humanity to Yudhishthira Maharaj. If immediately he understood, then there's no reason also for Bhishma to utter all of those teachings for all of us. It'll be remain hidden. We'll not be able to understand this. So that's one. And again, to have his devotees become more prominent, they were put into delusion at times so that other part of the reasons why the Supreme Lord is here to establish the principles of religion. And we mentioned that both of them are Mahajans, but why is it the other Mahajan is teaching the other Mahajan? Mahajan, you should not be in doubt, you should not be nothing, you're pure. Even Parikshit Maharaj says he's not supposed to be hungry or thirsty when he met this in the hermitage of, what's the name of that? Samika Rishi. Why he became angry to put. He's a pure devotee. He's not supposed to be angry. And he's doing it all because he didn't receive me properly. Because if he did not do it, then there is no Srimad Bhagavatam. So Lord Krishna made all these different intricate pastimes so that more things is accomplished for the benefit of the Kali Yuga people, especially. Mm-hmm. We will not hear Bhagavatam. There is no teachings here and there. Yeah. And regarding that, in the Nectar of Devotion, it says, you can worship Ganesh. Then the devotees in Chicago, when the Nectar of Devotion came out and they heard, Prabhupada, can we worship Ganesh? We can put him at the altar? Prabhupada says, yes, you can, but you have to provide me few kilos of gold every month. No problem. In Vrindavan, before we can enter Vrindavan, we need to ask permission from Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the digpal. He is the chokidar. He is the security person. You cannot enter Vrindavan. So we pray also to Lord Shiva in that way. You can worship them, yes, if they have connection. But for now, because of our devotion is not so great that we cannot even develop our love towards Krishna, then if you worship Lord Krishna, all of them gets, as Prabhupada says, if you have $1,000, then $100 is within. So it's no problem, you can, but this is an individual though. individual practice. We cannot put Ganesh there to let others that, yes, according to Nectar of Devotion, we can worship Ganesh. Prabhupada says in Toronto Temple, because they don't want to sell that temple to us, he says that tell them that we can put the Murti of Jesus Christ in the altar. Just sell the temple or the church to us. And still they don't want to sell us. So what devotees did is they camouflage themselves. They put wigs. We have one devotee, Prabhupada's disciples, who became the instrument to buy the temple. And after the deal was done, signed, sealed, and delivered, they took off their wigs. And they says, charan, we got it now. This is ours now. So, yes, you can worship Ganesh, but again, this is like very individual. And for those who are not initiated, they will not know the very, very fine ways how to worship. I mean, it's not, they're not be able to understand unless they're focused first. Just like it says that if you have two salagram silas, you have to have another one. Because you'll have a duality here. Oh, this is better than this, and this is better. No. Then have another one, then you cannot. So when we worship the Supreme Lord, we focus on the Supreme Lord Himself. And then if you become a little bit more advanced, really enter into the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, then if you have that adhikar or qualification to worship Ganesh and Lord Shiva in connection to further your attachment to the Supreme Lord, no problem.
I just want to cap that or add to that one point. In 1857, Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada's purported statement is, the only one we should be worshipping is Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna. Forget all his incarnations. Just Lord Krishna. Become absorbed. Become completely enclosed with Krishna. Think nothing else but because if you have all these incarnations, you're spreading out your energy of love.
Yes.
Whereas one, everything concentrated like a magnifying glass. When you put it in the sun and the sun goes down on a piece of paper, it burns the paper. Similarly, we will burn through the heart of Krishna and he will bless us. That's so I didn't want to give the impression that everybody should start on a Ganesha worship.
No. Just nice to hear this also for clarification. And in Kali Yuga, one last thing. In Kali Yuga, even if you're a meat eater, you can worship Gauranga. This is how Gauranga is so merciful. Srila Prabhupada ki Nitai Gaur Premanande.
So I'd like to remind everybody who's watching this Gopal Krishna Maharaj who's been sending these lectures this evening. So please come.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
All the sons of Daksha, for the millions of them, they were all became Narada Muni's disciples. There's no comparison to Radhanath Maharaj, even a bit of it. I would like to say that to you.
Jai Ho!